Hashtag we love number one sports digital radio station in Africa.
Morning, Julio. How you doing, brother?
Good morning, sir. It's a huge honor and a privilege for me to be chatting to you guys.
We really appreciate your time as well. So, seems easy enough, right? Get in front of a screen, play a bunch of hours of a particular game, become a world champion, straight road, right? I'm assuming that's not the case.
Yeah, of course not. I remember when I started out, I always envisioned myself on the big stage playing against the best players in the world. But as difficult as it was to get here, to get to the States, there's many hours I've put in. There's been many moments where I wanted to give up, where it seemed like I would never get there, but got through lots of faith and perseverance, determination and dedication, I was able to do that.
Julio, and not a lot of people know that you were actually a semi-pro footballer. Let's talk about that, the transition. How was it? Did you ever miss the smell of the green grass when you go to play? And what really sparked that change from playing football to gaming?
Sometimes I miss being out there on the football pitch. I love just the intensity and just the love from the fans and my family and friends supporting me. I think the change happened when I was about 18, 19. I just felt like I was at that stage where I wasn't going to make it. I was very tough on myself. I want to be the best in everything I do. And I felt like I just wasn't on the right track at that stage of my life. And I was obviously getting older. That's why I wanted to stay in football, but I was too young to do coaching, I felt. And I thought there's no better way than to combine my two my hobbies and my passion, basically, which is gaming and football, and going into FIFA. And I put everything I had into trying to become the best FIFA player in South Africa, best FIFA player in Africa. And I studied all the best players in the world. And I had lots of self-belief and I had lots of confidence in myself to basically see this goal or this vision for myself that no one else saw. And it was difficult for my family, for my parents and friends to understand that I was leaving something that I was doing for the past 12 years, for something I've never done, for something that's never happened in my community. But I'm just very happy it worked out. And like I said, it took lots of self-belief and hard work to achieve that goal.
Do your footballing... your footballing prowess on the football pitch, does that translate in any way, shape or form when you're gaming?
Yeah, of course. I think it does. I was a number nine forward when I was playing. So I think that attacking sense, that attacking prowess helps me a lot when I'm playing, because people love my style of football, especially in front of the goal, because it's evident that my attacking style is obviously better than my defensive style. So I go all out when I play FIFA as well, and I score lots of goals per game. So I think that helps me. My knowledge of the game helps me to read the game much better than an average player as well. So yeah, I think that gave me an advantage.
Let's talk about that. What separates an average player to a person like you that's going to be representing an entire nation, a whole country? Before, of course, they cancelled the showpiece event. What are some of the things you do that separate you from an ordinary gamer? What are some of the rituals that you do, maybe? Or even training? Because even with Formula One, people think you just get into a car and you drive, but there's actually some training that is involved. You need to do some neck exercises. You need to work on your core at some stage, your legs as well, and make sure you keep to a certain weight. What are some of the things that you need to take caution of while, just gaming?
So essentially you're asking Julio what separates him and me when it comes to this game.
Yeah, with you, because you do it like every once in 3 months.
it's a good question. But I think it's the hours that I put into the game every year. Remember, every game, every year that gets released is different. We all have to get used to it. So I think every year I put in an immense amount of time into every game to try and master the game, basically. And I'm talking about every aspect of the game, how the player shoots the ball. I want to find out what's the best way to score goals easier. What's the best way to tackle? What's the best way to win the ball? All these things that an average player wouldn't even think of. The best skill move combinations, all these type of things. So we, as pro players, we put in lots of time to master the game as quick as we can and as best as we can. And then secondly, I'd say mentality. Average players give up easily. And I think I just really have a mind of steel, especially in tournaments. It's very easy to lose your composure, to forget everything you've practiced and that you've worked on for the past 10 years, 5 years. And for me, I just try to stay as calm and as collected and composed as I can be to try and decide a game in a split second.
Yeah, I mean, Julio, it's so many great things that you've highlighted there. Do you know the hours you put in maybe a week, maybe you can break it down in a day, a year? Do you know how many hours roughly?
I mostly play weekends because I'm also a full-time student. Mm. So I try to balance my life also with having a social life as well. So I don't sit in front of the screen for 20 hours. I'm not a stereotypical gamer, but mostly weekends I play. Most weekends I'd say maybe 10, 15 hours, I'd say. Sometimes it can be in a day as well that I play 10 hours, 15 hours in one day. So, but yeah, mostly weekends. And
yeah,
during the week, I dedicate that to other chores and tasks.
Yeah, so we spoke about what separates you, right, from the average Joe, from the average gamer.
Yeah.
But I guess also my question has to be then, before we talk about the tournament that you qualified for, the FIFA eFootball World Cup, at what point do you say to yourself, this is something I can pursue as a career? I can enter tournaments and win? Or do you just, is it trial and error? At what point did you make that decision?
Yeah. So there was two incidents for me. One of my friends came to me on a Sunday afternoon and he said there's a local tournament in Cape Town. It's for about 1,000 rand and he thinks I can win this tournament. I haven't played in many tournaments that time. And I said, okay, fine, I have nothing to do. I might as well go and give it a try. And I ended up winning the tournament. There was two pro players and that time I was just an average gamer. So after that, I thought, you know what, maybe I can enter more tournaments and maybe I can do well. And then I started doing more research on the FIFA scene and the global scene in the international stage. And I wanted to find out a bit more on how to get involved and how to participate and play. And I came across this documentary FIFA made on a player called August Rosenmeier, two-time world champion from Denmark. And I was really fascinated by it. And I thought, wow, this is amazing. He won the World Cup and he was invited to the Ballon d'Or ceremony, which is the Player of the Year ceremony with the awards. He got to meet Ronaldo and all these guys, Lionel Messi. And I was really fascinated. I wanted to be on that stage as well. And I think that motivated me a lot to get involved, to try and achieve this goal of becoming the best player in South Africa and hopefully in Africa one day. That's what I thought. And interestingly enough, a year later, I managed to meet August Rosenmeier and I managed to beat him on the world stage in Amsterdam in 2018.
Wow.
So that was a really special moment for me.
That's called things coming full circle. There, that's absolutely crazy. So I just want to put this out there before we continue with this chat. I have entered two tournaments, local tournaments amongst friends, lost both of them, quite embarrassingly, I'm not going to lie.
Yeah.
But I should also put on my resume that I am the current Vision View Sports Radio FIFA champion. So
when did you guys play?
Huh?
When did you guys play?
Excuse me?
Okay, sorry, you know what?
To Julio, yeah, there's no need for me to verify
Julio,
what I'm saying.
I'm so sorry. Maybe this gaming happened somewhere under a bridge somewhere that I'm not aware of. I wanted to ask, as you're talking about, you know, doing research and understanding the scene and globally what's happening, did the financial prospects excite you? Did you go into the financial side of things to say, okay, cool, this is where I am if I win this? And, you know, is it something that caught your eye and caught your attention? And tell us about the different tournaments and where they range financially.
Yeah, I think one of the biggest tournaments, for one of my first ever tournaments, was quite a big one. besides the one there, the local one there, one in Cape Town, there was one for 400,000 in 2018 in Johannesburg. And that time I was still an amateur gamer, and we saw an advertisement on television, and my father said, "You know what? He really wants me to compete in this, and he would take his last money to fly me down to Johannesburg to try and get me there to try and play this tournament." And leading up to this tournament, I managed to do well in qualifiers, and that is where my team scouted me, who I play for now, Goliath Gaming. I'm still a player for them. And I didn't end up winning the tournament. I came into the semi-final and won about 15,000 rand, which was in that time a lot of money. And from there, it just kicked off, basically. Ever since I've won, I'd say 13 to 15 local tournaments. I think I've won the most local tournaments in South Africa domestically. And with my latest achievements in the World Cup, I've won, I'd say, over 500,000. In two tournaments. In the qualifier, came second. It was about 280,000. And then with the World Cup being cancelled due to COVID, I think I made an extra 230,000. So there's a lot of money in esports, not just in FIFA, in all types of games. If you can make it to the global stage or to the international stage, there's lots of money to be won. And especially during COVID, with it being such a tough, difficult time for my family as well, I'm sure for many families, I was just really proud and happy to have been able to provide to my family and to my parents for everything they've done for me and for everything they've put into me. So I was really happy and blessed to have this career in esports.
Sure. Hundreds of thousands. Hundreds of thousands.
Surely he needs someone to, you know, give him water as you're playing, and you know it's a rigorous tournament. It's a final. You need someone to put the grapes together, the fruits together. You know, Julio. Surely you need someone to just put a straw there so that you can drink your water without disturbing anything.
You're volunteering.
I'm volunteering.
This is you putting your CV forward as a straw bringer. Hey? Oh, brilliant. All right, so Julio, listen, with all your expert knowledge on the game and just how high you've ascended in terms of esport and your profile at the moment, in spirit with Women's Month, we've also decided to plug one of the up-and-coming female gamers here in South Africa, because she also has a few questions she would like to ask. Sihle is an up-and-coming gamer. She recently started her gaming stream. She caught attention of Esports Africa and will be featured in an article by them, and of course has hopes to continue competing at the very highest of levels. So let's welcome her. Sihle, how are you doing? Good morning. You're on the line.
Hi, guys.
Are you good? Thank you so much for joining us. So you've been listening very closely to the conversation we've had with Julio, yeah? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was paying attention.
All right, brilliant. So we know you have a few questions for Julio, but maybe firstly want to know how you got into esports yourself, and then you can start asking Julio the questions.
Okay, first off, like, this stems from a very, like, young age. Like, I grew up around siblings who were, like, gamers and stuff. So, and I only started paying attention to, you know, gaming and stuff. I could say maybe I was like, six, you know. So, yeah, and a girl who was raised around boys, like, I don't have sisters or anything. So it's kind of like I have an advantage to actually be, like, to actually, like, play these things, you know, from a very young age. And with the esports thing, listen, man, I just started streaming like 2 months back, and already I'm just so surprised, because usually I've learned online that it may take some time to, like, get recognition, especially in the country. But the fact that I kind of managed to get it quicker than than anyone else did, I don't know, which is actually very surprising. But then also for me, like, I saw it as an opportunity to, like, fill up this gap that's in the market, you know. So, because not many women, well, there are women that do esports, don't get me wrong, but, like, it's probably, like different races and stuff, but then mainly Black women, you know, we do, like, other stuff. We don't pay attention to these things, and these are the things that actually, like, are a gap in the market, you know. Like, gaming as a Black female, man, like, that's something very new in this country, and obviously overseas is different, because there's already many, many, many Black gamers out there. Like, there's, I can even, like, mention, like, a notable few. But It's crazy, you know, like I just recently just started streaming and already like things are just slowly blowing up, which is very like surprising, you know. And with this esports thing, I was approached like literally, it was actually, today's Wednesday. So 2 days ago, like on Monday, I got a message from one of the esports gamers in the country. Her name is Julia Robson. Yes. I can actually Google her. She's the one that contacted me about, you know, this Women's Month thing and wanting to, like, be part of the esports thing. But it wasn't, like, detailed. Yeah, it wasn't a detailed thing. I would just know once I had my interview on Saturday what's happening. And then she was just informing me about how, like, Adidas is, like, going to sponsor me and stuff, which is actually very cool. Because, like I said, it's something I did not expect to happen very soon. So, yeah.
Wow, that's absolutely brilliant. Absolutely brilliant that you're getting all the success so early on. Well, we're privileged to have Julia on the phone line with us, who's been doing this for quite a while right now and has achieved some success, a lot of success, rather. So do you have any questions? What are your questions for Julio? Julio, are you still there?
Yeah.
All right, brilliant stuff. Well, there we have it. Yeah. So please feel free to ask anything you need to ask Hitler. What he wears when he sits down? Is he wearing shorts underneath?
Does he have gloves?
Does he have indeed a straw person already? Maybe, Lerato, we know you're kind of positioning yourself for that job.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is your moment.
Let me ask Julio this question. Like, in terms of playing these, like, tournaments, like being a FIFA player, like, what benefits did you get? Like, as much as, like, I'm starting out and stuff, I would like to get, like, free stuff. So maybe, like, a free PC or whatever, which is kind of, like, my goal right now to, like, work towards getting that. Because these things are obviously very expensive. I mean, a high-end PC is, like, at least, like, 80,000 Rand, which is something I don't have. So, like, how did you, like, do you get, like, things out of FIFA? And what are those things, like, that you get?
Yeah. First of all, it's nice to meet you, and it's great to know that there's more females coming onto the scene as well. Like you said, obviously there are a few others, but it's great to know that there's more coming and that there's people that's actually, especially females that's interested and in joining. It's always great. I'd say if you can somehow. Firstly, obviously, my goal was always to get signed to an esports team. I knew that would be a great way for me to showcase what I have or what I'm really good at to a bigger audience, basically, and to be able to compete in tournaments, because that's where I can say when I'm playing for a team, a good enough or well-established team, like Goliath Gaming, for instance. They sponsor us with lots of things. They have some good partnerships with brands like Acer and Predator Gaming, who deals with computers and laptops and keyboards and controllers. They also have a connection with PlayStation, because I play on console. I heard you say you play on PC. So I'm on console, so obviously I would need, now and then I would need a new controller, I would need a headset, I would need a monitor, a console, and things like that. Mm-hmm. So they're able to assist me with that, and that's why I'm so grateful to be part of a team like Goliath Gaming. So I'd say maybe one of two things: if you can somehow get signed into an organization, esports team, that's one way of being getting that financial backing, as well as being a streamer as well. Many companies, brands, organizations, They look for potential, especially when you're streaming. And as soon as you gain a following, they're able to advertise or to promote their product. So I've seen Julia as well, the one you spoke of. I know her very well. She's part of Predator Gaming, by the way. So they have a really good following behind them on their Twitch and YouTubes. So, whenever companies see that, they're willing to ship you some products, and slowly but surely you can easily get those pieces that you dream of just by building a good following or even joining an esports team that's well established. So I think that's the two main goals. Besides getting personal sponsors from an agency if you do sign with one in the future.
All right, Sisle, just a last question for Julio. Do you have one more question? Sihle?
I'm thinking. Okay, like, do you plan on doing this esports thing like for the rest of your life, or do you have something else to do? Like, do you have another plan, you know? Is it something you're going to do? Like, because I know that there are very old people. Like, I've discovered that in overseas, that there's, like, people in their 80s who still do esports. So I just wanted to know if you're going to do it for a very long time.
Yeah, so Julio, try and say that as quickly as possible. We're quickly running out of time. So is it a long-term career? Quickly as you can.
Yeah, I think it can be. I mean, as soon as I'm done competing, I'll go into managing and coaching. That's what I'm aiming to do. And then secondly, my career would be obviously accounting, the one I've been studying. So yeah, that's my plan.
Okay, cool.
All right. Brilliant stuff. Sihle, listen, thank you so much for coming on. We wish you nothing but success in your career going forward. And I know that maybe in the next couple of months, we'll be hearing about you having won, qualified, or achieved something at the major tournaments.
I really appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you so much for coming on. Julio, stay on the phone line with us. Sihle, thank you so much. We do appreciate your time. Maybe, Julio, just in conclusion of everything we discussed, that FIFA e-tournament that you became the first South African to qualify for has been cancelled because of COVID-19. Where to from here? And just your feelings around hearing that tournament had been cancelled after what was a great qualification round from you.
Yeah, obviously it was a really special moment. You know, it's the pinnacle. I think it's the biggest event of the year. It's the event everyone dreams of as a FIFA player. So I was really gutted not to be able to showcase to the world what I'm really about, especially on the biggest stage, something I've dreamt of, you know. But always bearing in mind that public safety will always be number one. And I just tell us that it's in God's will, and that there's a better plan for me. And hopefully next year I'll keep working hard, I'll keep grinding, and I'll come back even strong and hopefully secure another qualification and then be able to show the world what I can do.
Yeah, before you leave, Julio, I think Asita's question about age, you know, really hit home. I'm not going to say how old I am, but I just want to know if it's too late for me to start. I'm like very close to, like, you know, like 30s, but not too close, but like almost close. Is it too late for me to start?
Nah, it depends. You know yourself. You know what you're good at, what you're not so good at. I always tell people that. Mm. But look, I've seen gamers that's in their 30s. In their 40s, like she mentioned as well, that's still playing professionally. It's just about how good you are mechanically with the controller, with the keyboard. Doesn't matter. Age never doesn't matter, in my opinion. So it's all about you knowing what you can do and how well you can do it and the time you're willing to put in to get to the highest level or to be able to be the best.
Brilliant stuff. We'll leave it there. Unfortunately, you and I can never play, Julio. I've switched over to pairs.
Iron hand. What is it? Iron hand coordination?
Yeah, no.
Not
no.
In sync.
It's brilliant. It's brilliant. I just play a different game at the moment. So, you know, for those reasons alone, you know, you and I would never meet in those circles. Otherwise, it could be a tough time for you. All right, we'll leave it there. Thank you so much for coming on, Julio. We do appreciate your time. Sihle, you stuck around. Thank you so much for joining us as well.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Nothing but success. And yeah, have a good day, friends.
All the best with the interview, Sihle.
Thank you very much.
All right. Goodbye, guys. Cheerio.
The number one sports digital radio station in Africa is bringing back the vision to radio.
Vision
View Sports Radio.